Am I not on?
No. She's
on. I'm on. Can't you hear me? They can't hear me, Ted. Okay. Okay, anyway, it's okay, Bill. He's fixing a cord. I started this lesson, I think it was 3 weeks ago. This is the second half. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Anyway, I thought I'd give you the second half today. You got the first half there a few weeks ago. And anyone who wants to study this out, I brought 10 sheets with just the scriptures down. I'm going to be saying some things that I'm not backing with scripture because I don't want to keep you till 4 o'clock this afternoon. And there's about 50 scriptures on the sheet. So the scripture references are there. You can pick them up on the table by the bulletin board after service, okay? And that sheet, I'm just going to very briefly at the end of my lesson, when I start that sheet, you know I'll be shutting up soon, okay? I'm just about finished. And on the back of that sheet, you have the four main problem roots that people have. And then on this side here, it gives a brief description of how to go about, or how we go about doing a deliverance, okay? And okay, demons. The Lord called me into the area of deliverance and dealing with demons and things like that. And I begged him to have someone else do that job. I was afraid of the devil and did not want to be in that ministry. And too bad, so sad. You know, when God says, guess what? That's the way it is, right? And so I was kind of forced into the deliverance ministry, and you know, but after you deal with your first one or two witches and stuff like that and setting them free, you aren't afraid of nobody and nothing in the spirit dimension, right? Anyway, so praise God. Okay, I'm going to very briefly go over the first half of the lesson. We know that Jesus cast out demons, and you know, under Mark 16:17, the first sign to follow a Christian is to cast out demons. How you doing so far? Anyway, and that was Jesus that commanded that. And Jesus sent no one out to evangelize without telling them that they must cast out demons. Must cast out demons. Nature of demons are beings, without bodies. They don't have a physical body. So in order for a demon to express itself, it has to attach to or within a human body or an animal even, okay? But to express themselves, they have to be within a body, and they're discontented outside of a body. And they're an outside influence that causes the person, it drives them to be doing wrong things or thinking wrong things, or fear is entering them and controlling them. Recognizing spirits. Well, all sin really has a spirit attached to it. If you're a murderer, guess what? You got at least one spirit of murder, right? You know, like, and you know, a spirit of blindness, like it expresses itself in what it makes, it compels the person to do, or, okay, a lot of sickness and disease. One of the first things when someone comes to me with cancer, I command every spirit of cancer to leave. And, you know, so many times the Lord has healed them. I mean, the devil is bad, you know. God is good, the devil is bad. And evil, you drop the D from devil and you've got evil. But anyway, you look at what the negative stuff is that's going on in the person's life, and there can be a spirit whatever that negative behavior is, whether it's hatred or murder or lust, there can be a spirit. Now, you know, the devil's not all powerful. We are the ones that are in control. And even a demon cannot force us to do something we decide we aren't going to do. So, you know, they can't just use, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it. He tried, but you went along with it, you know. And anyway, and God will defeat that. Why the prayer of deliverance? Well, some demons cause sickness and disease, you know. So in order to get rid of that sickness or disease, you would have to cast them out and then pray for healing and loosing God's healing power and things. Negative emotions in the spiritual heart of a person can become demonic if it's a strong compulsion, okay? A strong, negative emotion, it can become demonic. And they also would have to be gotten rid of and command them to go in the name of Jesus and do not return in Jesus' name. And you don't just say, oh, spirit of suicide, go in Jesus' name. No, you say every spirit of suicide, you come out in Jesus' name, and you don't go back in. You do not return. Jesus told them not to return, you know, and that is very important because the next couple of days after a deliverance, those negative emotions, those negative spirits attempt to return. Now, what we've discovered, and it took us 20 years to discover it, so that you have to fill your heart with the Word of God in your problem area before you do the deliverance. And then when the spirits try and return, for lust or whatever, you've already meditated those scriptures. You've heard them and heard them and heard them, and they're in your spiritual heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, okay? It's what you hear that goes into your spiritual heart, your subconscious mind. So, so now when we do deliverance, we make sure that they've done their homework. If they haven't done their homework and meditated those scriptures, I can't be bothered to pray for them. They're just going to come back in 6 months and they'll be in worse shape than they were when they came the first time, you know. Rebuke. It means to reprove sharply. Reprimand. A strong expression of disapproval. I've had pastors come and they had people we were doing deliverance on, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I thought, who brought this idiot? No, that's not actually what I thought. But anyway, I said, no, you tell it to come out. Jesus rebuked it. I said, yes, but have you looked at the scriptures? Jesus rebuked the spirit by saying, come out, you know, like, anyway. Don't stand there and rebuke a spirit. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. And the spirit is laughing at you because it does not have to come out. And, you know, so anyway, how do demons enter our lives? Well, through sin, through traumatic events. Anytime you are not in total control, they can attach. If you're very fearful at a movie, I remember years and years ago, man, when my youngest was born, he was only a couple of months old. My mother came to babysit. He was so little. But Hank took me out for the first time, and he says, oh, we got to go see this movie, The Exorcist. And I said, oh, yeah, everybody says it's great. Well, we went to that movie. There's police in the back of the movie theater. They're there to take the people away to the hospital because the spirits are attaching, you see, to people. Well, of course, you know, I was a Christian, but I wasn't very mature. So I get at this movie, and I'm getting nauseated. Like, I am going to literally throw up. And I said to Hank, I said, you know, I can't watch this movie. I have to go. And there was a restaurant just a half a block down. I said, I'll go down the restaurant, I'll wait for you. And he stayed and watched the rest of the movie, but I was just so sick. Anyway, I got home, and after that, and you know, Hank was an alcoholic, right? So anyway, lots of times he wasn't home. And I would go to bed at night, and the three children would be sleeping. And when I crawled into bed, the spirit would appear in that corner of the bedroom, and it would begin to come towards me. Once I went to that movie, and I was afraid to tell anyone. I thought, you know, they're going to think you're crazy and lock you in a rubber room, you know. Like, so I was afraid to say anything. But I was reading the Bible at that time, and when I would open the Word of God, it was back off. I don't know how many nights Hank came home, and there I was sleeping with my Bible open on top of me. You know, it was the only way I could sleep, because this thing was there. I couldn't tell Hank about it, you know, and it wouldn't appear if he was home. It was really weird. And it finally stopped coming. I think it got sick of me and, you know, reading the Bible, and then eventually got some good praise records, and you know, anyway, it stopped coming. But you have to be really careful, even through music. One of our ladies, she came, she said, Pastor Kathy, I think I need deliverance. And she said, I've been going to this exercise class, and they play music after an hour exercise, and you're supposed to just lay down quietly. And she said, I fall asleep every time. She said, I never sleep in the daytime. Never do I sleep. And anyway, sure enough, she had picked up this spirit. Anyway, she had asked the lady who was running the class where she got the music. Well, she got it at this witch's fair here, and, you know, and I thought, oh, nice. So anyway, through generational curses, you know, anytime you're out of control, I know I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but an old friend of mine, dear man, great guy, everybody loved him, I loved him, his wife loved him, everybody loved him. Anyway, every male in his family died by age 40. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that's a generational curse. No male in their line lived past 40. In fact, didn't hit their 40th birthday. Well, as he's approaching his 40, his wife told me at the funeral, the closer he got to his 40th birthday, she says, you know, he was just out of it. He was so terrified. He died. There was nothing wrong with him. The doctors could find no reason for him dying, but he died about 2 weeks before his 40th birthday. And when I look at that, I think, oh, it was a generational curse that could have been broken in the name of Jesus. We got to get out there, and we got to know what we're doing. I was a baby Christian then. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't realize Charlie was going through all this. I, you know. And you are easily open to a current curse, one that would be coming on you today. You know, it can be as simple as one of your kids playing with a demonic game or toy or something like that. Or, you know, maybe you know someone in witchcraft, and they've given you a nice little gift. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the gift is. They can also attach demons to it, you know. And you know, you need to be aware of what's going around. And, you know, if all of a sudden there seems to be a lot of discord in your home or something like that, that points to perhaps demon involvement, okay? Cover your house with the blood of Jesus. Command all spirits that not belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Of course, if you have anyone who's not born again in there, you better not do that, right? But anyway, you know, get some defense up there. And I'll tell you, when Hank first left for Serbia, the attack on me at the house, I'm telling you, I had such a nightmare. And I I hardly ever have a dream anymore, never mind a nightmare. But anyway, I cleansed the house and I covered myself with the blood of Jesus. It's so powerful, so much protection in the blood of Jesus. And I've had absolutely no problem since. But yeah, it was like, you think you're gonna, spread the gospel and get victory? Yeah, we're gonna get victory. Also too, with curses, I found when they're sending spirits your way, I know we've done different deliverances on witches, but this one witch, and there was so much opposition in the spirit dimension. I mean, it was a terrible battle. It took us, three, four times to finish the deliverance. This person had been so involved in the occult and stuff. But she needed to be set free. She wanted to be set free. One time she was in the hospital, and she gets thrown in the hospital in the middle of this deliverance too, you know. And she phoned me, and it was funny because the Holy Spirit said, pray for, and I started praying for her. And I was in Hank's office doing ironing. Anyway, and the phone rang. I'm sitting there praying. I picked it up. I knew who it was. And she said, Pastor Kathy, I'm in North Bay or someplace like that. I forget exactly, but it was up north. I thought, how'd you get up there? She said, I have no idea. You see, the spirit took her over, like she was in a trance, and then she went out, got her motorcycle, headed north, and the Lord got a hold of her and said to phone me. So I took authority over the spirits and bound them. I said, and you, in the name of Jesus, you get right back to Cambridge, to my house. And anyway, we continued with the deliverance. But I mean, there were spirits coming against that deliverance. And finally, it was so frustrating and it was so difficult. I thought, are we ever going to get this lady set free? And finally, I thought, in Genesis 12, verse 3, I think it is, the Lord says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And I said, Lord, thank you so much that you bless those who bless me. And I ask abundant blessings for them, Lord. And I said, thank you, Lord, that you curse those who curse me. And in the name of Jesus, I return every curse that's been sent our way, every curse that has been coming against. And I'll tell you, it was like day and night. All opposition to the deliverance ceased. And because the witch coven, she'd been an active witch, the witch coven got back all the demons they were sending our way. They all went home to them. And so, I mean, that isn't scriptural to do that. I think a lot of pastors would think, oh, you only bless people. Well, I'm just giving them back what they gave me, you know. Anyway. I read a library book years and years ago, and I was baby Christian at the time. And in this book, it told you, it explained exactly how to allow a spirit to come in, take over your mind, take over all your problems, take over your life, your body. You didn't have to do nothing. You could relax. And I thought, wow, this is really evil stuff. And it describes in detail how to do it, right? So I thought, what am I going to do? If I destroy the book, they're going to replace it. So I went back to the library. I took the book back, and I waited. Small town, they get it done quicker, right? Anyway, I waited for the librarian to put the book back. And when she did, I went and got it again. And they had these huge book things, shelving. And there was room that you could stick stuff under the bottom. And I took this book. I shoved it so far back. Until they dismantled the shelving, they would never find that book. And I thought, no, I can't steal it, but I can hide it. And I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible, But anyway, okay, a demon spirit can attach through the words of your mouth. if you, you know, you make a vow like, or even, you know, dumb things like, oh, I feel like I'm dying, you know, well then spirit of death can, you know. I mean, if you are voicing those words, do you realize our Heavenly Father spoke the universe into existence? Our God spoke and created. He created. His words are so powerful. You're his kid. You're his child. So am I. Our words are extremely powerful. And especially in an emergency situation, be very careful what comes out of your mouth. Don't think, oh my God, I think he's dead. I mean, don't speak it. Maybe you're thinking that, but don't say nothing. If you cannot say something positive in the situation, keep your mouth shut. Keep it shut until you can speak faith. Speak faith, that the Lord can work upon, okay? And help you out and make the situation better. But if you start speaking negative in that situation, they probably will die, you know? Like, I mean, you have to be careful. Your words are extremely powerful, you know? So if you say something negative, the negative spirit dimension can act upon that. You say something positive, the positive spirit dimension can move, okay? You're giving them permission through the words of your mouth. And, you know, we are God's children. Our words are so powerful. And we have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. So many mighty weapons that the Lord has given us. I was just saying to Pastor Bill before service, I remember facing certain death and being picked up and moved. I'm sure it was my guardian angel did that, but I mean, hello. My youngest son, such a sweetheart, obedient child. Anyway, we were visiting my brothers, and all the kids are out on their bikes and riding around, and they're down at the beach. Well, in that area, there's no sand. It's not a sandy beach. It's a big cliff, and it goes down like about three stories, you know, that it would. And then there's rocks because the tide is out, right? It's nothing but big rocks down there. You fall over that, you're toast. And they have all, and the kids had this rope swing on a tree up top, back a little ways from the edge. My darling son, I'm sure you all took a swing on that, but anyway, it wasn't Ted, it was the other one, and he's swinging, he's six. And, you know, he was so excited about what happened, he came and told me before I beat him. No, I didn't beat him because he did tell me about it. He did tell me I wanted him to, you know, share these things with me. But he knew the rules. He needed a spanking because he disobeyed. But anyway, he's swinging on this thing, doesn't the rope snap and throw him towards the edge of the cliff. Well, and he's rolling. And he says, and Mommy, he says, the Holy Spirit's legs were there. And he stopped on the edge. Yeah. He says, it was the Holy Spirit's legs. Well, I think it was probably his guardian angel, but thank you, Lord. I still have two sons, not one. You know, like, God is so good. He's there. But, you know, my kids always, 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 I would try and make sure that I covered them with the blood of Jesus before they left the house. You know, like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's there to protect us, but we have to get him in on what we're doing. So verbal vows, even if spoken in fun, plain Ouija board, anything to do with the occult, all that kind of stuff, can allow demons to enter. You have to control your thought life. You know, passive people are usually riddled with demons because they don't fight off that's, you know, dumb thought that the spirit is putting in your mind or anything. Because they're passive. They just let, Well, you have to tell it to go, but they just kind of go along. So they're simple targets for demonic oppression. You know, I don't think a Christian can be possessed. They can definitely be oppressed. Mm-hmm. Many people believe, oh, you're a Christian, you can't have a demon spirit. 99.9%, and we've done hundreds of deliverances, we're Christian. Hello. They were born again, most of them spirit-filled, and they had demonic spirits. Theories of origin. And, you know, we really do not know where demon spirits come from. We do know they're here. We do know Jesus cast them out, and we do know he commanded us to do the same, right? But where they come from, anyway, there are three theories, okay? Theory number one, demons are the spirits of the unnatural offspring of the fallen angels and the daughters of men from before the flood, okay? It comes out in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 4. This is wrong. The angels fathered the children. They have a body. They aren't a demon. They're fallen angels, right? Theory number two, demons were angels who fell with Satan way back when. Wrong. Same reason. Angels have a body. They don't need one. Okay, I kind of lean towards number three. I don't know if it's right or not. Demons are disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamic race who also fell when the devil rebelled against God, okay, in the pre-Adamic earth. I like this one. Whether it's right or not, I don't know. But we do know they're here and they're in our job description, right? I'm trying to, okay, let's go to Mark 5. Now, I know we did this first time, but, you know, there is so much information. It's the demoniac of Gadara. We'll start at they went to the Gadarenes. Verse 2. And, you know, this comes out in Luke 8. Am I making a noise with this touching my chin, Ted? No? Is it okay? Okay, great. It comes out in Luke 8 as well, but there's not as much information, so I use Mark 5. But there it states that this demoniac wore no clothing. Okay, and that's important because someone who is tremendously in a trance and things like that, and tearing around like this demoniac, they strip down, they run naked. I mean, it's a sign of a demonic spirit. Okay, verse 2. And when he, Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him, Jesus, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And we know there were 2,000 of them there, right? 2,000. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Well, he's in a graveyard. Death, dying, darkness all around. And you know, when you're ministering, I find it more with teenagers. Everything is black. Everything in their room is black. The pictures that they draw are all skeletons. It's all, it's all demonic stuff. It's all, and you know, they're dabbling in the occult, you know, and that they've picked up spirits. But anyway, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And it's not a problem because when you do deliverance on a young person, those spirits haven't been there very long. They come out like this, you know. It's no problem. You start doing one on, like Pastor Bill, man, you got some work. Of course, he's a sweet young thing. Verse 4, because he had often been bound, no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, you know, and he broke them. Supernatural power, right? I remember Hank when the demons took control there, and me in one hand and my sister-in-law, and she was a big, big girl, and like rag dolls, he was throwing us around. Like rag dolls, I kid you not. And he threw her because he didn't care. It was me he wanted to kill, right? So, but anyway, it was such a fun time. And the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so many times, so many people, they'll come in. Now, I usually do ladies. I have done men because some men can't handle the father figure of going to Hank, you know, like they can't handle it. So I would do them too. But I do ladies and children. But so many have those cuttings. You'll see where they've been cutting themselves and, you know, all over. It's just dreadful. But it's a sign of a demonic presence, okay? Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. The torment they put people through. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. He knew who Jesus was from afar. Born-again, spirit-filled people, born-again people, period. I don't know, in the spirit dimension, the spirits know us. They know we belong to Jesus. They know we're children of God. Whether we're like little lights, I have no idea, but those demon spirits know who you are. I remember one time I was, this is about my only story, this lesson, because I want to let you out of here, you know, sometime. But anyway, I had picked my daughter up. I was going to Bible school, first year. Picked my daughter up, and she was only 8, just little. It's right before Christmas. I thought, oh, we'll have a great time. We'll go Christmas shopping. My children, with me going to school and everything, they didn't see me much, so I took each one of them I would take for a day. I'd take them, you know, pick them up at noon, take them out for lunch. We'd go shopping, we'd whatever. And we went to St. Catharines. We're in downtown St. Catharines. It's Christmas time, all the Christmas decorations and the music and stuff, and lots of snow. 4-lane traffic, one way only. And we're coming, we're going this way, down this side. And Kim's got my hand. And this drunk, he's going along and he stopped like this. And he started to swear, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to... And he starts running across the street. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie where they dash through the traffic and everybody's honking and braking, and that's what was happening. And he's running up the sidewalk behind us. I thought, I hope he slips on the ice. But anyway, meanwhile, being a baby Christian, I didn't know what to do. I knew the guy was coming for me. And I'm looking in the store windows thinking, you know, there's got to be a big man in here someplace I can go stand next to who can protect me, you know. Nobody there. I thought, oh. Anyway, he's getting awful close. And Kim says, Mom, that man's coming after us, isn't he? I said, yes, he is. She says, what are we going to do? I had no idea what we were going to do, but I said to her, honey, he gets one step closer, I'm going to cast that thing out of him. Well, it was like on the Roadrunner. You ever seen Wile E. Coyote and he's digging his heels in trying to stop? This guy stopped. He shut up in a hurry, too, and back across the street he's going with all this and running down the other side. And I thought, oh, good. Now we can go shopping. Anyway, wherever were we? Okay, 6. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. The point being, the demons know who you are. They know you. You stand out in a crowd to them. And another thing I should mention at this point, too, is demons love to go to church. Yeah. they go with their hosts all the time. They sing all the hymns. Oh, yeah, you know. And they aren't used to Christians actually taking their authority. They all have it. Yeah. They don't use it. Yeah. Okay? So they think you're an easy target. But they're the easy target. 7. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And that's what this idiot was saying to me. "I know who you are, servant of the Most High God." Anyway, Jesus said, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then this is the only time ever, ever that Jesus does this. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." About 1 in 40 deliverances, you will need a particular name. Such a pretty song. A particular name to cast that demon out, because it's a strong demon, or, you know, demon of the occult, or whatever, and you may need its name. Well, if it's a strong controlling spirit, the person themselves will know the name. They'll be able to give it to you, okay? Usually that's what it is. Occasionally, you don't know what the name is. The person doesn't know what the name is. It's a strong demonic force, and you need the name. The Lord will make sure you get it, one way or the other. Usually through a word, sometimes through a dream, a vision, you know, and the Holy Spirit, you see, is helping you do that deliverance, and he makes sure you get what you need. And this is the only time Jesus ever asks for their name. I know a lot of people who do deliverance and waste hours and hours and hours trying to get the name of the different spirits. As long as you can describe what that thing is doing to the person. If it makes them fearful, it's a spirit of fear. And you would command all spirits of fear to come out, not just one. Don't go picking the leaves. Get to the root of it. Chop that tree down, every spirit of fear. You come out in Jesus' name and do not return. Okay? And he begged him earnestly to go into the pigs. And then all the demons begged him to do that. And Jesus let them. And what'd they do? There were 2,000, a herd of 2,000. Immediately, the demons had them commit suicide, you know. And so after all this happens, end of verse 15, and the demon-possessed man had been set free, sitting and clothed. He put some clothes on, and in his right mind, and the people from the city were afraid. They were afraid. Why is all that? Why are they fearful? This is the only time when Jesus was hanging around and setting people free and healing people and stuff that the people were fearful. Usually they want, "Jesus, come on over here. Stay. Don't leave us. Don't leave us." Here they're saying, "Get out of here. We don't want you here." You know. 17. Then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Why would they be fearful? Think about it for a minute. 2,000, a herd of 2,000, there was at least one demon per pig, right? Yeah. Now they're looking for a new body. Who do you think they're trying to attach to but the people in that city, right? I mean, of course there's fear, there's turmoil, it's, you know, it's a big mess. But anyway, a lot of fear there. And so much information on demonic spirits you can learn from this scripture. There's even more, but I haven't got time. Demons are referred to as devils, demons, or spirits in the New Testament. Mark 1:34 says, "Then he, Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons." He cast out many, and he, Jesus, did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. They knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was. Now, I let them speak, because when they finally stop talking, I know they're gone, okay? So, and I let them, you know, if they're causing a twitch or something, I let that continue. Because when it stops, I know that particular one is gone, okay? So that's why I would leave it. And again, Mark 16, and these signs will follow those who believe. Well, if you're a Christian, right? In my name, they will cast out demons. You know, we may not like it, but it's in our job description. And, you know, I really find a lot of deliverance overseas. I can't offhand think of a church where they don't do it. I don't know. But North America is different. Very few churches have anything to do with deliverance. Of course, a lot of us lie to ourselves and say, oh, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't have a demon. You know, I remember this one lady. She started coming to our church. She'd been a Christian for well over 20 years, born again, spirit-filled, attended a spirit-filled church. Man, she was loaded with them. She was terrified to enter our door. She would get sick every Sunday morning because she and her husband had agreed that he would try our church out. He would come every week. He was thrilled with the teaching. She could not come. Anyway, when we realized it was every Sunday morning, she, you know, my brothers used to get the 9 o'clock flu. You know, 9 o'clock, they felt better, but they didn't have to go to school that morning, you see. So my dad coined it. Anyway, this lady had been a Christian for years and years and years and loved the Lord. She was a white witch. Well, white witches are okay. They only curse the bad people. They, you know, like, hello, where's your thinking here? But anyway, she had three little demons on her shoulder that would talk to her. And I don't know what all they did. I wouldn't want anything on my shoulder. I would, you know, like, ah. Anyway, she thought it was a special blessing from the Lord. God, just a special blessing from God. Well, we did a deliverance on her, and the Lord set her free, and she was all crippled up and everything, too, and the Lord healed her from it all. It was just awesome, awesome. But I'll tell you, it was a battle. I think it was 3 different days we had to pray for her. And we had to get the name of a couple of the spirits and things. And anyway, God set her free and healed her. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And they do tremble at the name of Jesus, at the blood of Jesus. You know? Demons are Satan's servants. Let's check this time. Oh, we're at 11:30. I may keep you till noon. Okay, Matthew 12. We'll go faster. I can talk quicker. Maybe. I'm in Mark. No wonder it doesn't make any sense. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And it's the words of Christ. It's red letter. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, now, that was the prince of the flies or the king of the flies or something. By whom do your sons cast them out? See, the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of having this master demon spirit, right? Whom do your sons cast them out? By whom do they? Therefore, they, your sons, shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And, you know that it was the Holy Spirit working through the Lord, casting those demons out. And the Holy Spirit works with you, alongside you. He's your helpmeet, you know. He's there. He's there. He works mightily through you. He'll protect you. He'll set them free. It's, you know. Okay, let's go to Matthew 13. And we'll just be looking at verses 4 and 9. There's a lot of scriptural types of demons in Scripture. They're symbols, not kinds, really. But here in Matthew 13, it's birds. And it's the sower sows the seed, and the seed is the word of God, right? And this is the dirt, the earth, the hearts, by you know, the dirt of the pathway. It's hardened hearts, okay? Anyway, verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Well, that's the word of God, was taken from their ground, from their spiritual heart. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. And I know it comes out, I think it's in Mark, that the devil comes and steals the word from your heart. That's why when you meditate scriptures, when you need to get the word of God in a particular area into your heart, I have them read the word of God in their problem area, each scripture 5 times for 30 days. By then, that's in their subconscious mind. So if you cast out spirits to do with that problem area, they can't come back in and torment the people again. That's why I give them homework. Okay, birds, frogs, locusts, serpents, vipers. A demon spirit will manifest what it is and what it's to be called or named. Okay, so anger, all spirits of anger come out, you know. And that's how you would do it then. Dumb, mute, foul, lying, spirits of sickness or infirmity, blind, deaf, divination. We'll look at that one. Acts 16, 16 to 18. Now it happened as we went to prayer. Now Luke is writing this and he was with the Apostle Paul, okay? As we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Anyway, I don't think Paul was a truly patient man. He was a great man, but I don't think he had a lot of patience. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And then we know they tried to kill off Paul, and but the people, because they didn't make any more money. She didn't have the divination, and you know, these occult spirits are really, I find the worst one is the one that can read your thoughts. I get rid of them first if they have them, and it really helps a lot. Acts 19, 11 to 17. This is the seven sons of Sceva. I love this one. It's so funny. 19, we'll start at verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul, that's where you get your handkerchiefs and praying over them and stuff. We've seen many people set free and healed praying over, you know, a piece of clothing or a handkerchief or something. One crusade we were at, it was like, it was at least as, the pile of clothing was at least as high as the ceiling, I think higher. And then after we all prayed over the clothing, people would come and just grab a piece of, it didn't matter, it wasn't theirs. They needed to take it home to their dying mother or whatever, right? And a lot of reports, the Lord healed. The Lord will heal this way. Anyway, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Even the demons left. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you, by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Well, they found out that the Christians were having a lot of luck getting rid of the demon spirits because they used the name of Jesus. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And we know what happened. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. One man did this to seven. The supernatural strength. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. I mean, and if that's, you know, they had no right to the name of Jesus. He was not their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. We have the right. Jesus died for you and I. You and I. He died for us. To set us free, that we can go and set others free. Matthew 12 again. Verse 43 to 45. New Testament. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. I don't have all the understanding I need with this scripture. I know there's still more the Lord needs to show me. Seeking rest and finds none. But the spirit, when he's cast out, goes over dry places. I remember doing a deliverance on a man one time, Hank and I. And actually another couple, thank goodness the guy was about 6'3", and he kept running to the kitchen and getting a glass of water and drinking water and water. And I noticed with different ones, they head for the water, they want water, you start taking authority over them. I think the water somehow strengthens the demons. So, you know, you come to me for a deliverance, you better drink before I start because you ain't getting no water. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems to be. There's something about the water that they can hang on better. Anyway, and the demons go over these dry places and they find no rest. Then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and clean. So then the spirit goes and takes with him seven other spirits worse than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So shall it also be. The last state of him is worse than the first. Do not do a deliverance unless the person is prepared to defeat the spirits that want to re-enter. Bind them only. You bind them in Jesus' name, okay? When you bind a spirit, it's bound until the person themselves releases it again. So it will become active again if it's a spirit of murder when that person, you know, thinks about murder or something. Well, then that spirit will become active again, or fear, you know, that will free the spirit to be active again. But if you bind it, they aren't going to be worse. Okay, if you cast it out, they're going to be worse, a lot worse. And if they don't fill their hearts again, it's so important, with the Word of God in that problem area, those spirits will come back in. So be very careful. Be very careful. 1 John 4, 1 to 3. You know, most Christians think, oh, a demon can't say Jesus is Lord. Wrong. I have heard spirits speaking through people, even in a different voice, and mockingly, Jesus is Lord, Jesus. You know, oh, you just want to beat the person, but it's not them. It's the spirit, you know. Anyway, not so. That's not what the word says. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Has come in the flesh. Was born into the world. Okay? And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So, you know, you need to know really what the Word of God says, all right? And I don't know how many Christians believe that a demon cannot say Jesus is Lord. But anyway, praise God. There's spirits of fear, perverse spirits, seducing spirits. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, okay, but of power and love and of sound mind. So a fearful person would need those kind of scriptures to be reading out loud and pushing down in their spiritual heart, okay? Seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. I believe we're in the latter times. I don't think I'll be around to see the Lord return, but I might. You never know. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, we have to really judge the teaching correctly. I've heard some way off the wall stuff. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not of God, okay? Go with the Word. Go with the Word of God. I don't care if it's me or anybody else. Go with the Word of God. You know, not that I would teach unscriptural things. But lunatic spirits. Oh, Mark 9. We need to look at this. I got it that time, didn't I? Sorry. Mark 9, 14 to 29. We're actually going to start at verse 17. Okay. Then one from the multitude answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever he seizes him, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid like a dead man. You know, like, think, oh, is he dead? I have had it a couple times. But and you look at them, you know, they're breathing, but they're laying there. And you know, anyway, so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. 20. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. You see, the demon's end aim is to kill you, all right? And especially a spirit of the occult. You never do a deliverance on someone who's been in any area of the occult, even something I was going to say as simple as fortune telling, but I'll tell you, it's not simple, because any area of the occult you get involved in allows other occult spirits to enter and attach, okay? So, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I've seen some impossible things in my lifetime. I'm telling you, we have the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. How'd he do it? Saying to him, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Come out, don't go back. Come out, don't go back, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So he was, you know, so that many said, he is dead. I mean, the guy's dead, look at him. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when Jesus had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? So he, Jesus, said to them, and it's scary when the Lord says this to you, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And actually with Hank, that's what the Lord said. But he also said, 7 days I will deliver him. I figured the Lord was going to send me a big-time preacher to come do a deliverance on him, but mm-mm. Anyway, praise God, he got delivered. He's a better Christian than I am these days, you know what I mean? Like, wow. But anyway, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And, you know, if you have a strong spirit, if you have a huge problem of any sort in your life, you seek God in this manner. You go to Isaiah 58, and God's chosen fast is described there. You have a need of any sort, you go there, you seek God. You get into prayer and fasting. And it doesn't mean, I mean, some people fast and only drink water. But you can, you know, just have tea for breakfast and lunch and only eat dinner. I mean, you don't have to starve yourself. God isn't looking at you starving. He's looking at you spending time with him. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, and do it God's way. I remember a desperate need I had, and I sought him at different times through Isaiah 58, God's chosen fast. It's so powerful. And anyway, I went out and I bought some steak, which I couldn't afford for myself, but I got some steak and I took them to someone who didn't have a lot of money. And I gave it to them, and I fasted, and I prayed, and the Lord healed me. God is so awesome. He's just wonderful. I have no idea where I am, but good to know I'm on the last page, eh? So, okay. Familiar spirits, spirits of, no, anyway. Okay. Demon spirits attack people physically in your physical body. Any sickness may have a spirit attached to it. Okay, and solically, your mind, your will, your emotions, negative thoughts. I used to be tormented as a baby Christian. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, every time that would blast into my mind, I'd think, oh, what'd I do? Now I'm going to hell. Ah, you know, like baby Christian. You got to know the word of God. You got to know. But the spirits can torment you with thoughts and things, with negative emotions, okay? So your mind, your will, your emotions. And they can make you struggle, and you have sometimes you really have to fight them. Demons try to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ and distort the word of God, okay? 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 18, and there it speaks about hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I tried to come to you, you know, to Thessalonica many times, but Satan hindered us, is what it says. Okay, Genesis 3, there it's Eve. And there the serpent tried to cast doubt on the word of God. Has God indeed said, you know, you'll be, and then he says, you'll be like gods. The temptation, you know. And then Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, Luke 4. We'll go there. But, you know, he defeated the devil with the word of God. It is written. It is written. Okay? 1-12. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. He's a special case here. Jesus had a tremendous call on his life, right? And in those days, Jesus ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, the fast was over, 40 days and 40 nights, he hasn't eaten anything. He, Jesus, was hungry. Well, you know, when you fast after the second day, you aren't hungry anymore. You can fast a week, 2, 3 weeks, you aren't hungry. When the hunger returns, you're actually destroying your muscles and that kind of thing because you have no fat left. Okay, it's gone. And so Jesus was beginning to starve to death here. Verse 3, and the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. He knew he was dying of starvation, you know, so he's tempting Jesus. Verse 4, but Jesus answered him saying, it is written, and he defeated him with the word of God, that temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word of God. Verse 5. Then the devil, taking Jesus up on a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Now, this is in the spirit dimension. You got to remember the devil's the prince of the power of the air, right? Anyway, verse 6. And the devil said to him, to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you, Jesus, will worship before me, all will be yours. Well, we know the devil's a liar anyway, but Jesus isn't that stupid. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and set Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. That sounds painful, but the pinnacle actually is like a huge square on the corner, okay, of the wall of the surrounding the temple. And said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Of course, it's pride. For it is written. Now, You know, if you look this up in the Old Testament where he's quoting from, he's misquoting it. He's changing words around in order. He twists the word's meaning. I mean, but the devil can use scripture. That's what the demon used on me. I was running around in circles. Oh, I must have done something wrong. I'm going to hell now. And I'd ask for I mean, it was awful. I was being tormented by a stupid demon because I didn't know the word of God well enough. You know, of course, the church I went to talked about pollution in the river. Yeah. What can I say? For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. It actually says in all your ways and stuff, right? And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, some of that stuff is there, but it's all switched around. There's words missing. There's words added. Anyway, it's misquoted. The devil's a liar, and he will use the word of God against you. And in fact, it's the first thing a demon spirit will use against a Christian is the word of God. Because a scripture comes to mind, we think, that must be the Lord speaking to me. Well, guess what? You better check it out. Does that scripture line up with the rest of the word of God for the situation you're in? Check it out. And Jesus answered and said to him, he defeated him again with the word of God. It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. And then the opportune time was when the Father suckered him into believing that, you know, you kill Jesus, you'll be rid of him. Anyway, he got in big trouble after that. Okay, demons sow tares, they trouble people. All these scriptures are on that scripture sheet. I'm going to put them in front of the bulletin board after service. And there's like 50 of them or so. That's why we aren't turning to them, okay? But all these things have scriptures to prove it, unless I said, well, this is my opinion. Demons trouble people. They make them fearful, afraid, terrify them. They take them captive, you know, bind them. And there's the snare of the devil. Demons oppose the ministers of God. Well, that's a repeat. Demons blind the minds of unbelievers, okay, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Possession is indwelling control over a person by an evil spirit. A Christian can be oppressed by demons. Practically all the deliverances we've done hundreds and hundreds. Hey, they were oppressed. They were not possessed. Okay, they were still Christians. I remember when Hank was in the mental hospital there when he had his deliverance, and whoa, what a time. Anyway, I had gone up with my mom to visit him. And he and my mother had gone down the cafeteria, and I was sitting in the visitor's room. It was a room about the size of this, and there was no one there, just me. And these two men come in, and they were acting like zombies, sort of. And the one guy was walking sort of in a circle, but they started over there, and then I was sitting over here, and they're getting closer each time, closer, and thinking, Hank, what's taking you so long grabbing that coffee? You know, like, move it, buddy. But anyway, and then the other guy is sort of doing a different design that he's walking in and coming closer and closer and closer. And I started praying in tongues. And I said, I'll cast you out. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. Well, the one guy who was doing the circle ones, he stopped like he was going to attention. He marched straight out that door and he was gone. The other guy kind of shook his head and kind of looked around. He said, because he's getting pretty close to the table by then. He said, I see you're reading the Bible. He says, I'm a Christian. The Lord had brought him for me to minister to him. I mean, this is in a mental hospital, right? Anyway, Yeah, God is awesome. Okay, often the evil spirit has a legal right to indwell the person because of the person's actions or words. Okay, a verbal pledge with Satan, Ouija board, involvement in occult activity, sleeping around on your wife. They can cross over during sexual intercourse even, you know. Demons torment people, buffet people, and that word buffet means to hit with blow after blow, strike after strike, slap after slap, you know, to fight against continually. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, last scripture. And this is Paul's thorn in the flesh. Say, oh, the poor guy was going blind. That's why he wrote such large letters in that one letter. Well, what's the word say? 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And you think, gee, why couldn't Paul get rid of this thing? And he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that's like sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And because of that, people often think, oh, well, Paul was going blind, or, you know, he was all crippled up. Read verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's not just sickness. I mean, persecution, I forget which is a chapter. I forget which chapter it is in Acts that describes everything that Paul went through. I'm sure they stoned him to death that one time. He was in the deep, what, four times or something? Four shipwrecks? Hello? You know, they didn't even have the life jackets like we have. Anyway, it wasn't just sickness. It was the persecution, it was being hungry, it was being so many things. Demons resist people. They will oppose or stand up against, okay? Judgment of demon spirits. Now, this I'm not positive, okay? The judgment of the evil spirits, I think, would be similar to the devil. I think they probably go into the abyss, what is called the abyss in Scripture. I can't prove that statement with Scripture, but that's kind of my thoughts. Anyway, they were conquered and spoiled and made subject to Christ. But the Lord has done it all for us, everything. And we have authority and power over all of them, even the strong ones. If you're having a hard time getting someone set free, you might have to fast and pray. I make them fast and pray too, you know. We have the name of Jesus. It belongs to every Christian. We've got the blood of Jesus, and such a powerful weapon. And the demons really don't like it. And you know, if you're doing a deliverance and there's one spirit, that thing won't leave for nothing. I get the oil out. Yeah, this is the oil of the Holy Spirit. Oil of God, and I loose the anointing of God in that oil, and slap some on their head, and they start screaming and carrying on. This one time, anyway, they come out right away. This one time, this lady was helping me with doing a deliverance, and this one spirit, I forget which one it was, but anyway, the thing would not come out. I thought, I've had it to here with this thing, and so I said, go to the kitchen, get me some oil. I said, we're going to use God's anointing oil. You know, of course, the Spirit's listening to me, right? And she comes back. She's got French dressing. And she says, Pastor Kathy, it's the only thing in the kitchen with any oil in it. Mm-hmm. So I prayed over the French dressing. It screamed and came out, you know, like God isn't as